Our Lord and Savior left us instructions on how we as Christians may petition God. On today's broadcast titled, Why and How to Pray, recorded in Woodford, Virginia, Bishop Omega delivers a thought-provoking sermon which focuses on both the reason for and proper manner of prayer as prescribed by the Word of God. The text begins in the book of Luke, 18th chapter.
The reason we're here today, the Word of God, and I want to, I believe it's a very informative sermon today, and I do appreciate all your comments and your letters and your various communiques about how you've been enjoying and growing in the Word of God, and I pray, God, we continue to do that. You notice we like to have a prayer before service starts. Well, that's Scripture also. Today, when I say that's Scripture, I mean it's Scripture to keep prayer preeminent in your lives. And today I'd like to cover why we pray. Now, I was going to leave that the title, but then I noticed in my research and in my preparing this, it's more than why. It's why and how to pray. Why we pray and how to pray. And I can guarantee you, I think most in here, you may have some clue. I don't think anyone is fully familiar with all the reasons why, and I'm just covering a few today. They're all the reasons why we pray. Why do we pray? You were told to. And then you said you love the Lord. The Lord said, if you love me, you'll do what I asked, not asked you, what I commanded you.
Yes, sir.
Keep my commandments. I use these words on purpose because Jesus didn't say, do what I asked you to do. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I ordered you to do. A commandment is an order. He said, pray always. Right? So that's the first reason. Reason number two, why do we pray? Well, Jesus makes it very clear. We'll go down to Luke 18:1. Jesus makes it clear, if you would listen to all of this short story, this passage, Luke 18. Go to Luke 18, start at the first verse.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge.
Stop right there. He said men ought always to pray and don't give up. Don't be weak doing it. Don't get weary of doing it. Right? Now, to back up what he just said as to why you should pray, talk to the Lord, why you should stay in touch with the Lord, is an example he's about to give. He just said, made a statement. Understand how the word works here, what the Lord is doing. The Lord said, people should always pray and never give up. And to back up my point, let me give you this illustration. That's what's about to happen. Are you with me, saints?
Yes, sir.
We've been over it before, but let's listen to what is being said now.
Verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man.
All right, we have a judge, a magistrate, someone who's kind of secular. I don't care about God. I don't care about men. I'm powerful on my own. I got it going on in this city. I'm the man. I'm the judge. God, I'm not worried about a God. I can't even see him. This is this man's attitude, right? So this is a person who's cocky, arrogant, and foolish. Because the one who says there is no God is a fool. Proverbs tells us that, right? So, read on.
Verse 3.
And he doesn't fear God and doesn't care about man.
Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Now, there's a lot there. We've been over this, but let's listen to this again. Some preachers, people always get this wrong, thinking that in some way, Jesus is comparing or saying God is like that unjust judge. Just keep on praying and wear God down, and finally he'll answer you. He's saying anything but that. He is saying that wicked, no good, whatever, if he finally gave in and did the right thing because he got worn down. Wouldn't God quickly answer the prayers of those he loved? You don't have to wear God down. His point is, God loves you, even if though he bear long with them, even if God lets you suffer a while. But when God's ready to work, won't he avenge you, answer you quickly? That's all Jesus just said. He wasn't comparing God to that unjust judge, saying, look at how they're similar. He's saying God is anything but like that unjust judge. Amen. The unjust judge doesn't care about God or human beings. But he naturally got worn down and got sick of give that woman whatever she wants. Now, says Jesus, God is nothing like that. God loves you. And we will speedily answer you, even if sometimes he lets you, he takes a while before he answers. But when he decides to answer, he'll avenge you speedily. Amen. Why? Because it's up to God and his timing. But his point was not to try to wear God down. People often misconstrue that point because he says men are always to pray and don't get faint. And faint not. So they think that he's making the analogy that see how that woman didn't give up. She didn't faint, but she finally wore the unjust judge down. And he finally answered her and she got what she wanted. People think he's saying it's the same way with God. He's saying no, the opposite. God doesn't have to be worn down like the unjust judge. Amen. Think about why Jesus went out of his way to call the judge unjust. He wouldn't be saying his father is like the unjust judge. He's saying, but now, when it comes to those that love him, won't he avenge you speedily, even if he lets you suffer a while? Because we're going to get to other reasons why God does or does not answer prayers. But Jesus' point here was, and notice how he ended up, but yet still, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find any faith? Jesus just likened people who always pray to those who really have faith. So, the second reason we're given here today in this sermon as to why to pray, it's a sign of faith. Understand what he's saying. Because even in Luke 17:26, he says, Jesus says, when I return, the scripture is saying, it's going to be just like it was with Noah in the days of the Son of Man. That's fancy language for when I return. It's going to be comparatively very, very few people believing in me. Jesus just made that clear. Read Luke 17:26.
And as it was in the days of Noah.
Listen, just like it was in the days of Noah. Well, what was it like in the days of Noah? Let's stop there. The majority of humanity perished. So what Jesus is saying is the majority of humanity, the majority of people that will be on earth when I return, the majority won't even believe in me. Yet, some people get angry. We ought to have revivals. There's going to be more turning to the Lord as the day. No, as the days wind up, you're going to have less and less.
Amen.
Because when Jesus returns, he just said it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Eight people out of all of humanity were saved. Amen. So Jesus said it's going to be just like that in the days of the Son of Man, an allusion to when he returns. That's why he says in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find any faith? He didn't say, shall I find anyone praying? But look at verse 1, Luke 18. So Jesus gives the example of the unjust judge, and then he gives the complete opposite in God. And his point is that those who really believe in me will show it by constantly praying. Did you get all of that? I mean, I want you to look at that. That's why I'm going out of my way to give you these scriptures. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And then if you jump to Luke 17, 26, he says it's going to be like the days of Noah. Amen. And if we want to get more particular, people will be going about their way, doing regular, normal things, and all of a sudden, he's returned. And when he returns, he says, will I have any real believers? Well, he answered that in Luke 17:26. Very, 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 very few. So another reason to pray, our second reason today to pray, it is a sign of faith. It's a sign you believe in Jesus. Men ought always to pray. Right? It's clearly Jesus is saying it's a sign of faith. That's reason number two. The third reason takes us to the Old Testament. Here is one which I found very interesting. Let's go to Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter. There was a time when the Lord told Israel, and let me paraphrase, you don't need a human king. I don't want you to be like other nations. I want you to be the shining example of what a nation is like when I'm their king. But Israel's looking around, they're looking at other kingdoms, and they said, we want to be human. We were carnal. God is saying, listen to me. I will be your king. I will direct you through the prophets. I will direct you with my guiding spirit. I will be your king. I will be all the king you need. Israel, no, we insist we want a king that we can see to go out before us and to come in among us, meaning to represent us. We want a king like other nations. God says, but you're not like other nations. You're my chosen nation. I want you to be a people that will be a shining example to the rest of the world what it would be like when a people obey me. But no, God, we want to be like other nations. But I don't want you to be like other nations. They insisted. God, what does God often do when you insist on sin? Going against his pulling, he's saying, no, come my way, but no, you want your way. Now, we're not talking about when someone is trying to beat a bad habit, trying to stop. You're trying to stop. But this is someone, no, belligerently. I want to do my thing. God says, remember Romans? If you insist, he'll eventually turn you on over to you. That's what you want? All right. Not talking about someone who's struggling with a problem and try, Lord, praying all the time. Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm weak. I'm flesh. I don't know why I keep returning to this sinful behavior or whatever it is that's unlike you. Forgive me, Lord. Now, I'm talking about the ones that say, look, this is how I am, so I'm going to be like this. You may as well get used to it. God made me. That doesn't sound like a repentant heart. It sounds like someone that's just, but God knows when you're struggling or I just don't know any other way. This is what Lord, forgive me. That person's trying. That person is not sinning with impunity. They're repentant in heart, right? There's a difference. Even I was just saying recently, Paul says, I was ignorant when I forced those people to blaspheme against the very name of Jesus, meaning he made those people deny Jesus. And then he had the saints killed. Paul said, but I did it in ignorance. But once I was enlightened and I stopped kicking against the pricks, I got with it. Now, that's a different. That's the kind the Lord will save. It's those that sin with impunity. I'm not going to change. It's the way I am. God made me. He shouldn't have given men these desires. I have to cheat. It's just the way I am. God should understand that. See, this is a person sinning with impunity. But someone who is just weak and just can't break a habit and can't do whatever, that God knows your heart, right? But here we have a situation where these people, the people of Israel, God's people, went against what he advised. God says, I will be your king. Now, what am I getting at here? Another reason why we pray. God told them, you don't need enough. They said, we want a king. God said, I'm your king. They said, we want a man, a human king. And we can see him. He said, all right, I'm going to give you Saul. He's going to take your sons for the army. He's going to take taxes from you. He's going to be, in other words, he's going to have the right of a king, a human king. And I told you I would be your king. And you would be a different kind of kingdom. My shining example to humanity, what it would be like for a nation that obeys God. But when God's people disobey him, there's a reason for prayer. Read 1 Samuel 12, 20.
And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness.
You've done all this wickedness.
Yet turn not aside from following the Lord.
Still do the right thing.
But serve the Lord with all your heart.
Sir, he's talking to the people of God. You messed up. But don't turn from God.
Amen.
See, the saints, we're the people of God today. Right? All of us mess up. But you see what Samuel said? But don't turn from him.
Amen.
continue to serve him. Keep on reading. Where are you at? Verse
21.
Alrighty, verse 21. All right.
And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after the vain things which cannot profit nor deliver.
Idols. He says, don't turn aside to other gods. Idols, they can't profit or deliver. They're not real anyway. So that's, you see what he's saying to them? Don't turn aside from God, Samuel is saying, even though you messed up, right? But do continue to serve God, even though you messed up.
Yes.
You sinned a great sin, but continue to serve the Lord. You're still his people. Listen to this. Keep on reading. Verse, where are you now, 21?
21 again. And turn ye not aside.
And do not turn aside.
For then shall ye go after vain things.
For then you would be going after empty things, vain things that cannot profit you or deliver you.
Amen. For they are vain.
They are nothing.
22. For the Lord will not forsake his people.
The Lord will not forsake his people. Listen.
For his great name's sake.
Because of his great name's sake. He chose you to be his people.
Amen.
And for his name's sake, he's not going to forsake you. Mm-hmm. Read on.
Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people.
It's pleased God to make you his people.
Amen.
Now, here's the verse I want to get to. I said all that so you can see Samuel, first of all, he acknowledged, you all messed up. You did a great sin. Mm-hmm. But continue to follow God, and God won't neglect you because he chose you. This is for those of you with the right heart that have said, God, the Lord is my God. I'm going to follow him. Lord, I messed up again. Forgive me, Lord. But the Lord is my God.
Amen.
Samuel said, don't turn aside, and please don't turn to some vain idols or anything, but follow the Lord. You messed up, but the Lord chose you. Mm-hmm. It pleased him to make you his people.
Amen.
Now, verse 23 is where I wanted to get to. Why do we pray? Moreover,
God forbid that I should sin against the Lord.
Did you see? He said, moreover, as for me, far be it from me. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. And what?
In ceasing
to pray for you. Mm. Here is the third reason I'm giving today as to why we pray. Because it would be sinning against God not to pray for his people, even though they've messed up. So we're to pray for one another. When we messed up, if you don't, you're sinning against God. Yes, sir. Are you all getting that?
Yes, sir.
Samuel says, read verse 23 again.
Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way.
Did you see that? His point is, the reason I pray is because you're God's people. And if I don't pray for God's people that messed up, I would be sinning against God. So when we mess up one another, we're to pray for one another.
Amen.
Or you're sinning against God.
Yes.
I want you to see that this is in the Bible. He said, far be it from me, or God forbid, that if I don't pray for my fellow believers when we mess up one another, and you pray for me too, not go behind their back and talk about them.
Yes.
And pull them down. And look at that thing she's wearing. Who does he think he... No, pray for them. Because if I don't, I would be sinning against God. That's what the prophet Samuel said. And he's considered the prophet of prophets in terms of the era of prophets. We've been over that before. Because Samuel begins the official era of the prophets. And he was the last of the judges, wasn't he, as well? And verse 24,
only fear the Lord.
Listen, keep on. I'm going to pray for you, he says, because I would be sinning against God if I didn't pray for God's people. And I keep saying God's people because we're going to see in another place we're admonished to pray for people who are not God's people. We're going to see that in a minute. But here he's talking about our attitude towards God's people when they have greatly sinned in asking for a king or in any great sin you've done against God. Samuel said, I'd be sinning against God if I didn't pray for you. He says, only fear the Lord. In other words, you keep on fearing the Lord and serve him in truth.
With all your heart.
Partially. With all your heart, serve him.
For consider how great things he hath done for you.
Remember what great things he's done for you. Prayer, you were commanded to. It's a sign of faith, and I'd be sinning against God if I didn't pray for God's people, even when they've greatly sinned and messed up. Did you get those three so far? Let's move on to four. Another reason to pray, and I alluded to this earlier. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:1.
I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Stop right there. Now, that could sound redundant unless you understand why he itemized those different kinds of prayer. First of all, we just came off of the reason you pray for God's people, right? Now, did you notice the one little wording in there? He said, for all men. All right, this goes outside of just God's people. Amen. Right? That's why I said, I want you to see why I'm saying Samuel was praying for God's people. Why it would be a sin against God if I didn't pray for God's people. And the very next reference we have here, Paul's telling Timothy, whenever the church comes together, make sure what is preeminent in that meeting is prayer. Notice he said, first of all. What does first of all mean? Before you start collecting offerings, going down the roll call, before you start that, before you start frying fish, first of all means before everything else, somebody off up in here ought to pray. That's what he just said.
Amen.
Now, is it clear? Now, you might say, first of all, he's talking about talking to God. So he says supplications. You did get the point that he said for all men. So now we're talking about the world at large. Samuel was talking about praying for God's people. Now Paul here is talking about when you come together as a body, as a church, two or three are gathered. That's church service. Right? He says, therefore, I exhort you. I exhort first of all. It means above all things, before you get started, preeminent. It's prayer in all gatherings of the church. Amen. First of all, most important, prayer. Then he says, well, there are different kinds of prayers. Supplications, we've been over this before. Precise requests for specific needs. Then he uses the general term prayers. Well, that is talking about, that's a general word embracing confession, adoration. Lord, you're great. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, you're merciful, right? That's adoration, just adoring him. Or it could be simply confession. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, help me in Jesus' name, help me, right? So he gives what kinds of prayers? He says supplications, specific requests, general prayers, confessions, adorations, things like that. Intercession. Now, that's a specific prayer for somebody else, not you. You don't intercede for you. You intercede for someone else. Yes, sir. Jesus intercedes for us. Because when you get finished all of our praying, Jesus says, Father, here's what she really needs. That's because we know not what we should pray as we ought. Isn't that scripture? Amen. I know you think you do because your back is hurting. You're thinking, let me ask you this. When your back is hurting, right? Lord, remove that pain. If he doesn't remove it, were you praying in accord with his will? Yes, sir. But it says, ask whatever you want. We'll get to that in a minute. Think about it, though. I get 100% of my prayers answered when I pray in accord with God's will. You'll learn that the older you get. Not in age, the older you get in the word. The more mature you get in the word, you'll understand what I meant by that. I have every single prayer of mine answered when I pray in accord with his will. Amen. Not one has failed. He didn't catch up to you. You caught up to him. Think about it. Who's going to get their way? It's going to be God's way. So learn to pray in accord with the will of God. Don't you know that's what in the name of Jesus means? People often think that's a magical charm that you put at the end of a sentence, meaning I'm certainly going to get my way now because I said in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ means according to whatever it is Jesus wants. We all get that, right? So here's the fourth one. The fourth thing that we're going over now is that there's a reason to pray for all men. And then he gives us four different ways. He says supplications, specific requests, prayers, that's confession or general adoration and so on. Then he says intercession, praying for someone else. And then he says, and giving thanks. And giving thanks can refer to praise, prayers of praise. It's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father in heaven, right? Now, listen, he said do all of that for all men. That's everyone outside of the church community, too. Then he gives you examples. Who should you pray for?
For kings.
Oh, I didn't vote for that president.
For.
All right, now, wait a minute. Didn't we all say we love the Lord and we're obedient and we love his word? So even though you didn't vote for that senator... He said, Senator, read on. Even for kings, he said.
And for all that are in authority.
What's a senator? What's a representative? The mayor. The cop. That is to say, the officer on the beat. No, they're in authority. Bible says, pray for them. First, it said all men. That means everybody. Then he got specific. He said for the leader. And back then, it was the kings were the rulers. So he said kings, and then for all in authority, the governor, anyone in authority. And notice he said for all men, that's reaching outside of the church, everybody. And then he goes on to give reasons why we should pray for all men and those in authority.
That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life.
That Christians may have a tranquil existence.
Amen.
Now, he is not saying you won't suffer persecutions in this life. But his point is, do your part through prayer to pray for the king, the leader, the president, the governor, the mayor, whoever. And all in authority, those in the court system, all in authority, pray for them so that we Christians may live tranquil lives. That's what he says. What are we discussing here? Reasons why we pray. We were given a command to do so and do it without ceasing. Then it's a sign of faith. It shows that you believe in Jesus. Third, we had that we're to pray for fellow believers, even when they've messed up.
You are listening to a message titled, Why and How to Pray, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
Now we're told here in our fourth reason for praying why we pray, we're to pray for all people. It doesn't say those you voted for, those you like, those who are nice to you. And then he gives reasons why. And I want all Christians to listen as he gives the reasons why you pray. Now understand, when Paul is saying this, he's telling Timothy to pray for the king that's going to kill Paul. I mean, how much? This is basic history, I know. He's telling Timothy, pray for Nero, one of the most psychotic emperors ever in Rome. Killed his wife and his mother, didn't he? Nero famously thought he was an artist, burnt down Rome. And played, it wasn't a fiddle, fiddles didn't exist then, it was probably a harp. People always say he played the fiddle while Rome burned. There was no fiddle then. He probably played the lyre or the harp, thinking he's some great Stevie Wonder, or Mozart or whoever, and then who did he blame? Christians. Come on, saints, let's get some history now. And then he put us in oil and dipped us and let us light his night parties with Christian bodies burning. Paul said, pray for him. Dragged us around, I'm saying us because those are my Christian brothers and sisters. Dragged us around on his chariots for sport through the city and let people laugh at us. Fed us to wild animals in the arena while they ripped out our arms and our legs and limbs and tore us limb from limb. Paul said, pray for him. Paul's point is because while he's alive, maybe God will save him. we're about to read it. This is in the Bible. How many Christians I have left in here? Oh, no, some of you want vengeance. Some of your faces, I wouldn't pray for that man you pray for him. That's Bible. See, you have to cease and let Jesus begin to live. No, in you. And you know, you got to leave that neighborhood in the neighborhood and be broader minded and see what this scripture says. And then he says that we may live peaceable lives in all godliness. That means you do the right thing. You walk right before the Lord.
And honesty.
Or reverence. Make sure you're not the reason why you're being persecuted for your personal behavior. Now, if you're persecuted for being a Christian, then we're told in other places, put up with it. Pray for those who persecute you. Yes. Do I still have Christians? Any with me today? All right now. And not just a Sunday Christian. When you leave here, you're going to get your neighborhood attitude again. Yeah, Bishop might have said that in church, but guess what? Let somebody hit me. See, you all got to leave that attitude outside somewhere. No, outside of you. And let Christ live. I'm telling you the truth. You all do it sometimes with each other. I know you do it to the world. Got to watch how you talk to each other. Listen, he says, for this, wait a minute. Why did he just say this? To pray for men, people who are not in the church, but if they're in authority, pray for them especially. Right? Because God likes it. Read the very next line, verse 3.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God.
It's what God likes. I don't know if we see how many of us have this godly mind, Christ-like mind. God likes it when we pray for those in authority, though they be cruel as Nero. And we think a few insults from a leader, a few indiscretions and lack of dignity, and some of us blow our tops watching. You want to throw something at the television, don't you? That was no Nero, though. Paul said, pray for him. I exhort you, my son in the faith, pray for all men. Why? God likes it. One reason that we may live tranquil lives. He said, also, it's good and acceptable in the sight of God. Why? Because God, as long as they're still breathing, may want to save them.
Amen. Amen.
You all don't know. Hear what I just said? Paul puts it this way, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even Nero, is he breathing? Then there's hope. Here's the thing, saints. No one but God knows who will and will not be saved as long as that person is still living. But he killed 1,000 people every day. No one knows but God who will and will not be saved, killed spiritually, will not be saved as long as that person is still living. Because if they're still living, there's a possibility. Don't you know, at another place, I think I may cover it soon, Paul said, I am the first or primary example of what it is like for God to save the worst kind of person. He said, God chose me. This is what Paul says in one of his epistles, to be an example of what it's like. In other words, if God could save a wretch like me, Paul was saying, like I am, then he can save anybody. And Paul says, Jesus chose me for that purpose. In other words, that's the reason I was born. Paul says that I might be the example of what it's like for God to save from the uttermost. Those you think, so I say that to say, I know, so some of you are thinking, listen, there's no way. If you know about Mao Zedong and all the murders, and you know about these world leaders who killed millions, and Stalin, to the tune of, what, 10,000 a day? And the great purges, his own colonels and generals, and the murders, and then the killing fields in the Far East. And you're thinking, there's no way. Well, that person still had hope while they were alive. If they converted, and only God knows. You mean 1 second before he died, have you forgotten the criminal on the cross? You also underestimate my Lord and his blood. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. That was confession. That was acknowledgement. That was salvation when Jesus looked over and said, today you shall be with me in paradise. The man was a criminal till his dying moment. He was a murderer. To his dying moment, he was a criminal. But he had to tell the other one, hey, stop teasing him. We belong up here. But this man has done nothing worthy of this. Then he got good sense and said, Lord, that right there is confession. He called Jesus Lord. He's saying, I know who you are. Because he said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, let me tell you, Jesus said, you're saved. He said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. With me. Yes. Listen, let me tell you something. When we leave here, we go right to Jesus. Amen. That's my hope. Not hope, like, I don't know. That's my earnest expectation. I no longer heard someone testifying how we, was it Felicia, about somebody, about how we now don't fear revelation. Somebody said that. I forget. It's true. Not even death. I don't fear death anymore. I have apprehension about the manner. No one wants to suffer pain. But where I go after, nope, not any longer. I embrace, I look at revelation and laugh now. Not laugh, you know what I'm saying. Well, I get happy. It doesn't scare me is the point. Where it used to bring such trepidation and such fear, no longer. I know where I'm going. Anyway, the reason he says to pray for these all men and to do specific requests, general prayers, intercession, pray for someone else and their specific needs, and then also giving of thanks, prayers of praise. He says, because you never know. God may want to save those leaders that you don't like personally, those that are cruel. He says, because it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, who, God, desires all people, all men, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's ultimate desire. He would love that. And someone is going to say, but he's already predestined who shall and shall not. But you don't know that. So he tells you, do my work here on earth. Evangelize. Do the work of an evangelist. Pray for others. Intercede for others with prayer. That was our fourth reason why we pray. Fourth and fifth, actually. That was fourth and fifth. The fourth was that we're to let prayer be preeminent. The fifth was that we're to pray for all men. That was the fifth, right? Now we're moving on to the sixth reason. In fact, this is how. Now, this I have somewhat to say on this one. How we pray. And I could ask you, but I'd have so many different answers. When you pray, to whom do you pray? Some of you are scared to answer, but let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Let me share this with you. How many of you do this? You say, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus. Don't you? We all do. Raise your hand. You know you do. We all do. All right. But didn't we say we want to be obedient? To whom did Jesus tell you to direct your prayer? I'll do you one better than that. Go to John 16 first. Let's go to that one first. John 16. 23. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples immediately around him because he was about to leave and send back the Holy Ghost, that he would not be here physically anymore as he isn't today, but he's here in spirit. Knowing this, that they would no longer have him physically to go talk to, he gave them an order, or he gave them a statement here, and it applies to us because he's no longer here physically. So, he says in John 16, now we're dealing with how. Remember today's sermon, why and how to pray? The first five reasons we gave why. Now let's get to how to pray. Are we obedient to the Lord Jesus? Yes. Let's say by faith, yes. Let me ask one that we can all answer. Do we want to be obedient to the Lord Jesus? But Jesus told us this in John 16, 23.
And in that day, you shall ask me nothing.
What day? The day when I'm no longer here physically.
Amen.
Now, did he say you shall ask me some things?
Nothing.
Oh, wait a minute. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Isn't that asking Jesus? I just want to get technical with you for a minute. I'm trying to address habits versus what we're told to do. But what's your habit? What's my habit? Lord, help me, Jesus. Jesus, help me, Lord. Jesus said, you will ask me nothing. We don't even realize how blessed we were. He gave us permission to go directly to the Father. He says, but if you want it to have some power, use my name. You ever been to a place and they say, so-and-so sent me? Or you have to say, I'm here by invitation of so-and-so? That's all Jesus is saying. Jesus says, in that day, John 16, 23.
In that day, and in that day.
I want to drive this point home.
Ye shall ask me nothing.
Now, does nothing mean nothing? Or does nothing mean just a little bit? He said, you shall ask me nothing. And I thought this was interesting because I can guarantee you every single praying person in here prays to Jesus. Don't think I'm saying now, I know Jesus is God, God is one, but are you going to fight what he said? You have to admit he said, when I'm gone in that day, when I send back the Spirit in that day, when I'm not here with you physically in that day, that's all that means. In that day, you shall ask me nothing.
Yes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
Now read 14:14 to back that up.
John 14:14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Now see, people think in my name means to him directly. No, I'm telling you what he says. He said, ask the Father. But in my name, make sure it's in accordance with my will. That's why he said anything. Think about it, saints. If he said, ask anything and I will give it to you, without saying in my name, how many of you have not had your prayers answered? Listen, come on, let's be realistic. You ask many things, did you always get it? Last week, half of you asked to win the lottery, did you get it? Just think. Some of us ask for illnesses to be gone. They're not. Some of you ask for a bigger house, whatever it is. You clearly didn't ask in his name. You didn't ask in his name, or Jesus is a liar. He can't be. He said, whatever you ask in my name, it'll be done.
John 14:14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
I will do it. So if he didn't do it, it wasn't in his name. Jesus says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Read John 16 again, please. In that day you shall ask me nothing.
John 16:23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say
truly
unto you.
Truly, when he said, I want you to really hear this. Mm. See, so why don't we hear this? Verily, verily, truly, truly,
I say unto you,
I'm telling you,
whatsoever ye shall ask the Father,
anything you ask, I gave you permission to go directly to him. You shall ask me nothing.
Amen.
But you can go directly to the Father. And he says, don't worry, by the time you get to the Father, I'm already there for you.
Yes. Amen.
But he's giving you permission and the confidence you can go directly to the Father.
In my name.
In my name, though. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's my will. The Lord says, when you pray, go to the Father directly, but use my name. The Lord says, use the model I gave you. Our concluding seventh part here is, section here is, when does God answer prayers? Yeah, but how? All right, I heard you all the time. Yes, he does. Then that's a very good answer. Two of you said all the time. Because sometimes no is still an answer. Mommy, can I have a lollipop? No. She answered you. Father, may I have this? No. That's an answer, though. So when does he answer prayers? Very good point. Very good observation. But when does he answer your prayers favorable to your request? Let me put it that way. I have something for you here. First of all, you heard me allude earlier to Luke 18:14, where God heard, I'll just allude to it, where God heard the prayers of the humble publican rather than the proud Pharisee. Remember the sinner? God heard him because he was humble. All he could do, what is the one that beat his chest and said, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, a sinner. And the Pharisee looking across, he had at least I'm not like him. Who, you couldn't even find anybody nearby. He said, that one way over there, I'm better than, arrogant, proud. God is not interested in those prayers. When does God hear your prayer? When you obey him. That's a big one right there. John, 1 John, listen to this, saints. You wonder why sometimes, I'm going to give you at least 7 reasons here why you don't get what you ask for. Right? I'm going to give you 7 reasons. Just so you can mark them down as they're quick. 1 John 3:22. This is the 7th and last section we're doing today. Why you don't always get what you ask for.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments.
Uh-huh. So what's another way of saying it? When we're obedient, he answers our prayers. But now, every single time, he may not answer the way you want to because of other reasons. Right? Listen to this. When we confess our sins, some of us get down and pray without acknowledging your own sins first. James 5:16.
You want 16? And confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Did you see that? Confess your faults one to another. Obedient, obey God, obey the Lord, his word. 1 John 3:22. And then also in confession, you have Psalm 66. You got that quickly? Psalm 66, 16 through 18. I just wanted to get that in there for the record.
Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
18, if I regard iniquity in my heart.
Duh. See, that's not lack of confession. Mm-hmm. Regarding iniquity within, you're keeping it in.
Yeah.
If I regard iniquity with, if I keep it in.
The Lord will not hear me.
All right. Now, who does he hear? Those who confess.
Yes.
But if I regard iniquity within my heart, within my inner person, that's all it's saying. Doesn't mean that mechanical thing beating into your chest. If I keep in the sin, if I don't confess this thing, the Lord will not hear me. So just understand why some of your prayers aren't answered. Some of you never confess your faults or acknowledge them. Some of you aren't obedient to the Lord. And the third thing, do you stay in Jesus?
Amen.
Here's another way you get prayers answered, the way you requested. If you stay, if you abide, abide only means to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And to stay in means to be guided constantly by his leading.
Yes, sir.
To abide in Jesus, John 15:7.
If ye abide in me.
If you stay in me, Jesus says.
And my words abide in you.
And you do everything I said do.
Ye shall ask what ye will.
Ask whatever you will. Why? Because you'll be asking within my will.
Yes.
Because you're staying in me and you're keeping my word.
Yes.
Do you see how this works? We have to know how to understand how to break down this, like the language. And don't just think it says, whatever I want, I get. It's not what the Bible says.
Mm-mm.
Abide in me.
And my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will. And it shall be done unto you.
But you heard those provisos in there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, if you do that, then you'll get what you want. Here's the fourth reason why many don't get their prayers answered. Ask according to his will. You don't ask according to his will.
Mm.
Yes?
1 John?
1 John 5:14 and 15. 1 John 5:14.
And this is the confidence that we have in him.
We are sure of this. This is the confidence we have in him. This is not a supposition. I'm not guessing, hoping. No, we know this. Yes?
that if we ask anything according to his will.
That's the key word right there. According to his will. How many times have I said that today? According to his will. Mm-hmm. According to his will. In Jesus' name. That means according to his will.
Amen.
Just said in different ways. If you ask anything according to his will,
he heareth us.
He hears us.
And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
And if, in other words, if we do what he said, we know we're going to get it. That's all he said. The petitions we desired of him. Fancy language, people get confused. And the sixth thing, as we draw to our conclusion, the fifth thing here, that you have to ask in faith. You can ask doubting. Ask in faith. See, do you see how many provisos there are? You ever wonder why you don't get your prayers answered? Do you fulfill all of these? Think about it, saints. Are you obedient to God and all his word? You confess your sins regularly, because we have regular sins, whether you know it or not. You do. Confess them regularly. You can confess them to the Lord, confess them to one another. And he says, do you stay in Jesus? And does his word abide in you? You do everything he says. Do you? And then do you ask according to his will? Do you ask according to what he wants? When you go to the hospital to pray for that person, when you're at home, just say, Lord, if it be your will, would you heal Auntie? Lord, if it be your will. That's not showing a lack of confidence. I'm saying, Lord, I want to acknowledge I want your will done first. But you know what? I'm going to have faith. Mark 11:24. When I do pray, I'm still going to have faith. And I hope my faith is that I'm asking his will. My faith is that I'm asking his will. Lord, let it be that I'm asking your will. Mark 11:24.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Did you hear that? So how are you going to get down to pray for something and you already die? I don't think he's going to do this, but Lord. Didn't James say you may as well get up, stop praying? Right? And then here's another thing James says, have the right motives. James, we just read Mark 11:24. James 4:3.
Ye ask and receive not.
You ask and you don't get what you ask for. Why?
Because ye ask amiss.
Because your motives are wrong. Then the Lord knows you. That's one thing I'm so glad about. You can't fool the Lord at all. You don't get what you ask, James says, because you ask with the wrong intentions, wrong motives, wrong heart.
Ye ask
amiss.
And receive not.
And receive not.
Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust.
See? It's for you. Lord knows your true intention. And here is the last one, which some of you men might get upset on this one. But you better live peaceably with your lawful spouse. Or your prayers might be shanghaied. Read it, please. 1 Peter. I thought I'd end on this one because I want to see how many people are going to get an attitude before we leave here today. 1 Peter 3:7.
Likewise, ye husbands.
Now, wait. Why do you say likewise? Because he had been saying submit. If all of you submit to the authorities, to the president, to the... If you follow the movement here, he was saying, and then he said, wives, submit unto your own husbands, and blah, 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 blah. Then he says, likewise, ye husbands.
Yes.
What? Listen to the thought, understand the verbiage, the wording. He's saying, likewise, you men submit. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, this is not for women to go home and, you heard, Bishop. Because he's not saying submit to the leadership of the woman. He's saying submit to her being different to you. Husbands, likewise. See, this is what we don't examine. The likewise is hearkening back to his other submit, submit, submit. So he's saying, you husbands, yes, learn to submit too.
Amen.
Not in the leadership sense. Yes, you are the head of the house. Didn't say you're the brute of the house, but you're the head of the house. That's the way God made things. But it says, you submit to her being a woman. Listen to this. Likewise,
ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge.
Dwell with them in understanding according to knowledge. Understand, a woman's different from you.
Amen.
I don't know why she wants those white walls. Because she's a woman.
right? You all come in there. I can't stand these pink sheets. So she sleep on the sheets with you? Get with the pink sheets, brother. It says dwell with them in knowledge.
According to knowledge.
In understanding. He's saying, then this is the Lord telling Peter what to say. He's saying, understand, you're different. This is what, listen, you can like it or not like it. It's the word of God. Yes, he made the men, the leaders, the providers, the protectors, not the brutes, not the taskmaster, but yes, she should submit to your leadership as he went over that already. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husband. Got that. Men like that one. But you hate when it gets over to husbands. Likewise. Likewise what? Understand language. Go back to the word submit. Because he was talking about governments also. We are to submit to the authority of governors. People in authority. Now also husbands, likewise. Likewise what? Dwell with them in all knowledge or an understanding. So submit to them as being different. Their tastes are different. First of all, you know, you ever come home and your dresser was there, now it's over there? They're nest builders by nature. Women, they just wake up and say, I want to move that here. You sit down, there's no chair. Dwell with them in understanding. It's her right to move the chair. He says, dwell with them in understanding. Listen, giving honor to the wife.
As unto the weaker vessel.
Meaning, respect the fact that she is physically weaker.
And as being heirs together of the grace of life.
Now, heirs together of the grace of life does not refer to salvation there. That's talking about the most blessed union God has made, marriage. Yes. You're heirs together in marriage, he's saying. He says, you're heirs together of the grace of life.
Amen.
Because that is the most blessed union in the natural realm that God has made, a man and a woman being husband and wife. He says, that why? That your prayers be not hindered. Ah, you wonder why you aren't getting answers to your prayers? Treat your wife better. God bless you all. Peace.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.